M&K Talk YA now presents Cinder, Part 1 of The Lunar Chronicles by Marissa Mayer. Welcome back to M&K Talk YA.
I'm Marissa Snyder.
And I'm Katie Bradford.
And this is our young adult fiction podcast. I realize that I keep saying my name like it's a question.
Should we read some articles about up-talking and...
Yeah, and vocal fry and how we can avoid that to make people take us more serious. Yeah. Okay, three things real quick. First of all, you may have noticed we have a theme song now.
I've always wanted a theme song. This is a dream come true.
I know. Like, I just want to play it every time I walk through a door, like in my office, when I get home.
I want to hire someone with a boombox to play it behind me every time I walk through a door. Is that overkill?
No, I don't think so. I think that's just enough. But yeah, we love it. Oh my gosh. We have to thank Timothy Milkey. He's from Pittsburgh, PA, which is my hometown too. And he composed this original music for our podcast, and it blew us away. We love it so much.
Agreed. I'm speechless. That's how much I love it.
Yeah, and you know, he was just so like genuinely excited to create it for us, which it was so fun to work with him.
Yeah, it really captured, I think, what we wanted it to feel like.
Yeah, really well. It really did. And like he just put so much time and effort into us. So we want to say thank you so much, Timothy. It means so much to us.
Yep, you're a rock star.
Second thing is we learned how to edit finally. Kind of.
And by we mean Marissa knows how to edit.
I sort of kind of.
Because I have not done it yet.
You probably noticed from the hack job I did on that first episode, but it's coming together. The software is finally cooperating, right?
Yep. Not my webcam, though. So we still can't see each other while we're doing this.
Yeah. We still have a problem with the webcam. We did master the Google Hangout thing. But I was reading our texts, like, from before. And this is, like, how dumb I am with the software. My text to you said, "Why don't you try Googling Hangouting me?"
We've come a long way.
We really have.
We would do really well in these future worlds that we're reading about.
Oh my gosh. There's like comm chips, there's port screens. I would be constantly at the port screens store.
I would definitely need like an Android to help me out.
Oh, for sure. But now I think because we know how to edit, I think we can relax a little bit more, you know?
Hopefully, yeah, because I think I was extremely nervous last time.
Oh, you can tell if you
listen to it. To be honest, I'm still pretty nervous.
And yeah, no, same here. Same, but like now we can edit, so, you know, we can go crazy now.
So the other day I auditioned to be a trivia host, which is not something I'm traditionally qualified for as a software developer. Also interesting that I don't know technology better. But the guy kept trying to tell me how to do different things with my voice, and I just, like, looked at him like, I do not know how to change my voice that much. So everyone else was, like, a voice actor, and I was like, this is how I talk.
This is what you get. But not really, because yep. We can edit dumb shit things we say like that.
Can you auto-tune me?
Can I what?
Auto-tune me?
I don't know what that means. What does that mean?
Isn't that what they do to like people who can't sing in their songs?
Oh, they like dub them.
They can carry a pitch or something.
And they lip sync then?
Yeah, I don't really know. I'm saying words.
I'll watch a webinar, an online tutorial, cuz God knows I've looked at all of them already. Everyone out there. And like what really drives me nuts is all of the articles you read about podcasting, they're like, oh, anyone can podcast. It's so easy.
Well, it kind of reminds me of when I learned to drive. I like would look around and I'd be like, okay, all of these people on the street know how to drive. And I think I'm smarter than a lot of them. And then, you know, there's like a lot of people, not that people who podcast aren't smart, but just I feel like, yeah, anyone can start a podcast, but.
Yeah, like we're smarter than this. We should be able to get this together. instead, like,
it's been a struggle.
Chad's like laughing in the background of the first one. We're, you know what, step by step, we're getting there. Every day is a little bit better than
just,
the last.
Just wait till our 100th episode, everybody.
Yeah, oh my god, it'll be like a professional podcast. And if anyone tells you the podcasting's easy, they're lying.
Or they're smarter than us. Or they're dumber than us. One or the other. Maybe we're overthinking it.
I'm gonna go with that. Third thing, real quick. Happy birthday.
Oh, thank you. I'm a lot older than last time, in case you guys can't tell.
Oh, you sound so much more mature.
By a lot older, I mean just 1 year.
Is that all?
Only one birthday.
You can't even tell. I was gonna send you some banana cookies in the mail.
You don't tease me like that. That's my favorite thing.
But I just imagine what they look like after being sent from Chicago to Atlanta. And
I don't care what they look like. I know what they taste like. And I would not even stop to look at them. I would just immediately eat them.
Yeah, that's like how we kind of bonded one of the first times we met. I made banana cookies.
Which are amazing if you've never had any.
Well, they're my aunt's recipe, so I can't take credit for it. My aunt Judy has this recipe, and they're really good. And I made, we were cooking for Food Friday at work, and I made a bunch of them. And I won't say you ate all of them.
I ate half of them. Literally half of them. They were supposed to be for the whole office, and I ate half of them before you even finished.
I almost had a dozen to take in the next day.
And that's because you hid them from me. Which was smart.
I don't remember doing that. I remember you thought I ate all of them. You ate all of them.
Yeah, I looked down and they were gone. And I was like feeling really guilty because we weren't even really that good of friends yet. And I was like, oh my goodness, I'm so sorry. I ate all of your cookies. And then you were like, I hid them.
Yeah. And then we set Brooke's kitchen on fire.
Yes, making popcorn. Again, really smart people that we've got on this podcast here.
We're not doing ourselves any favors here. Kids, don't drink a bottle of wine and then try to make popcorn on the stovetop. It was a small grease fire.
Right? Everyone lived to tell the tale.
And we're still friends with Brooke, which is kind of a miracle.
Yeah, right? Actually.
I mean, mm-hmm. If you can almost set someone's house on fire and still be friends with them, I mean, that's pretty good. We're just that cool.
That's how you measure your friendship level.
Exactly.
Because I've almost set people's houses on fire and stopped being friends with them.
Yeah. They're not friends with anyone anymore. They're not around to tell the tale. Okay, that's all I had.
Okay, so should we dig into the actual young adult fiction part of the podcast?
Yeah, let's do it. We're reading we read half of Cinder.
Yep, which is the first book in the Lunar Chronicles, for those of you who were not listening all the way through the pilot. It's the first series we decided to read, and we read up to page 200 if you have a paperback book, or rather if you have the same paperback book I have, which is where chapter 22 starts.
Yes. You'll be proud of me, Katie. I have a hard copy of this book.
I am proud of you.
I mean, I got it at the library, but okay. That still counts.
Libraries are good. I support libraries. I just have a problem, so I have to buy every book that I see.
You should, you know, no one goes to the library anymore, and it's so sad because they're so great. You can get, like, you can get music, you can get movies. You don't even have to go to the library. You can just get your book sent to your Kindle if you're lazy, like me sometimes.
And you can, like, see other people who like books, which I know that sounds weird, but I really appreciate that. I saw this thing the other day that was like, why is buying people drinks at a bar the thing we do? Like, instead, I wish people would come up to me at a bookstore and buy me the book I was looking at, and then we could talk about it. And I was like, that would be amazing.
Oh, sold. I'd be like, done. Let's get married.
You're already married. Sorry, Chad.
Whoops, sorry, I forgot. That would be a great way to meet people. I was at the, when I was at the airport this week and I was traveling, and I had this library book with me, and the strangest thing, like, this guy came up to me and he looked at it, the library book, and he was like, oh my god, is that a library book? And I was like, are you kidding me? And he honestly, he took it out of my hand and he held it up like it was some like rare artifact, and he was just like amazed that I had a library book. He was like, people still go to the library? I was like, oh my god, what planet are you on, buddy? Come on, you're missing out.
But for real, a lot of people don't go to the library anymore.
Get a library card. It's free. You pay taxes for it. Use it.
My problem is I would then lose the book.
Oh. Well, if you get it delivered to your Kindle, which I know you don't use Kindles, but then you don't even have to go back to take it back. It just disappears off your Kindle and you don't get charged for it.
And I do think it is cool. I forgot about that, but the CDs and DVDs and all that that you can rent, yeah, as well. Or even like magazine subscriptions. Yep.
You can get free passes to go to the museum.
You can do some serious people watching.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Although I don't honestly think I've seen anything too crazy at the library in Chicago, which is probably saying something, but...
I don't even need to see crazy things. I'm going to sound really creepy now. I like to watch people and like think about their lives. Like, isn't it crazy that everyone that you like pass on the street like is thinking about work and their family and, yeah, that guy or that girl and their dog and, you know, whatever happened in third grade or whatever, like all the stuff that everyone thinks about, but I don't know anything about them.
I think of that when I'm standing at the Addison Blue Line station and I'm watching all the cars drive down the highway. I'm like, oh my God, all these people are going someplace.
When my little sister was little, she used to think every time we got on the highway, we were going to Hilton Head because, oh, we used to take the highway to Hilton Head. And every time we get on the highway, she'd be like, are all these people going to Hilton Head? And I thought that was funny.
No, we're going to the doctor's office to get a shot.
Don't talk about shots.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot. Okay. Let's talk about this book.
Okay. Well, so...
Go for it.
Before we even talk about the book, but, like, about the book... So it's obviously tied to Cinderella, mm-hmm, which, you know, we know the story.
Well, we know the Disney version.
But I was looking into the origin story, and there's actually, like, a bajillion different versions of it.
I read that there was 345 different versions.
And, like, from every country, mm-hmm, back a bajillion years. A bajillion is apparently my number of the day. Accurate scientific fact.
That's a scientific term.
But I was talking to someone, and I was like, yes, it is predictable in to a certain extent. Like, I feel like while I'm reading it, I know to expect certain things, or I notice analogies, or I, you know. Mm-hmm. But there's still a lot of creativity or originality in this version, I think, for sure.
Oh, absolutely. Because, like, in all the versions that I read, there's always some kind of animal friend, like a forest friend, whether it's, like, birds or mice, or one of them's a fish. But, mm-hmm, I like how Eco, the android, is kind of like a replacement for the mice. Mm-hmm. I think that's brilliant.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I mean, there's already talk about a prince and a ball and, you know, mm-hmm, some of the elements that you're used to, but she doesn't feel like a damsel in distress at all.
Oh no, there's just like hints to the fairy tale. I learned something really cool. So I read that the earliest documented version of Cinderella actually comes from, do you want to guess where?
China?
Yeah, China.
Okay, I only guessed that because of where this one is placed.
I know, and I love that. It was called Yezhan by Duan Chengxi. I should have rehearsed that. Chengxi in the year 860. Yeah, it's like the earliest version. She has a fish instead of a fairy godmother, and she goes to a New Year festival instead of a ball. But I thought that was so great that Marissa Mayer set the book in Beijing, China, and the oldest documented version comes from China. I was like, let's assume that she intended to do that, because that's a pretty cool connection.
That is really cool. And I like that it was set in, like, I like thinking about our countries that we know today, or like the world as we know it today, but like vastly different. You know, sometimes, mm-hmm, I feel like they, in dystopian books or whatever, they'll just choose completely new lands or whatever. Like, yeah, it's kind of cool that it was, had some kind of,
you could recognize it,
ties to the world today, but obviously a lot had changed.
Yeah, I really like that too. Just because it makes it easier to, like, situate yourself and kind of understand what's going on if it's not, like, a completely fabricated world. But did you read, like, some of these early tales are so freaking disturbing?
It's Brothers Grimm, right? Where the stepsisters, like, cut off their toes.
They cut off their feet.
Into the glass slipper or something at the end. After I read that one, I decided not to read into too many details because I don't do gore like that.
Yeah, like, the mom tells them to do it, too. She's like, oh, if your shoe doesn't fit, just cut off your heel. And then it'll fit and you'll get a husband and you won't have to walk anymore because, like, you'll be rich and your servants will bring you stuff for you.
I kind of feel really bad for them in that version. Like, if I cut off my foot and then also didn't get to marry a prince, like, maybe if I cut off my foot and got to marry a prince,
it would make up for it a little bit, is what you're saying? I don't know. It's messed up. And then at the end, I don't know why, but the Cinderella's forest friends, or like the bird friends, they peck out the stepsister's eyes at the end at her wedding.
Oh my goodness. I read this one too, one of the fish versions, where it was like her mom and her stepmom were like walking in the woods, and the stepmom pushed the mom into a well, and the mom turned into a fish, and then she fed the fish to Cinderella. So she ate her mom. And then like planted the bone. And then where she planted the bone, something magical like grew, and that was like the fairy godmother-ish thing.
Did she ever find out that she ate her mom? Because that would be the
I think
I would be in therapy for the rest of my life.
I think that's what the stepmom told her. Yeah, I mean, for so many reasons. Even if someone just said, your mom is this fish, I think I'd be in therapy, let alone if I ate it.
I think that's worse than the birds pecking out the stepsister's eyes, honestly. That's just so vindictive.
Kind of crazy.
Oh my gosh, that is crazy.
It makes you wonder what, if anything, is going to come back around for the stepmom in this version. What's her name?
Audrey. Oh my god, my dog will not stop barking. Adri? Audrey?
Yeah, something like that. Audra, yeah.
So when the stepsisters cut their feet off, you know what that reminded me a little bit of? Because the mom tells them to do it. It reminded me of Chinese foot binding a little bit. Maybe because I was just thinking of China because of the setting. But it was kind of like the mom was willing to like put her daughters through this terrible pain and like to sacrifice her feet for the sake of getting a good marriage. Like, to her, there was nothing more important than marriage, no matter if you're mutilated. Which is, like, kind of what Chinese foot binding was.
It's so crazy
was.
To think about a world
I
like
know,
that.
I know, I know.
I'm so thankful that that's not our lives.
Oh, my God. Thank God. But it, like, wasn't that long ago that women did that to their daughters. Like, bound their feet like that.
And I still feel like there's parts of the world where variations of maybe not foot binding specifically, or maybe, I don't know enough about it, but, you know, where that's more culturally acceptable, things like that. Or
yeah.
That, at least,
yeah, because it was, like, the only way they could, you know, like, raise their, like, socioeconomic status was, like, through a good marriage, and if you didn't bind their feet, then they could end up a servant or a concubine, or it was just, it was, like, an example to me of, like, the extent to which parents will go to, like, get the best, ensure the best for their kids. Mm-hmm. Crazy.
It is crazy.
No wonder that didn't make it into the Disney version.
That's inappropriate for 6-year-old girls and boys.
Probably would have liked that as a 6-year-old, let's be honest. I like dark and scary things. Oh, but you know what? I really did like, have you ever seen the Drew Barrymore version of Cinderella Ever After?
Yes, I have.
I own that movie. I love that movie so much. My roommate and I used to watch it every night in college. It was like our falling asleep movie. And we like never made it past the part where the dad falls off the horse. Because we'd always fall asleep. But I think that's like my favorite version of the Cinderella story.
What's the one with like, is it Brandy in it?
Yeah.
I used to love that one when I was little.
I wasn't super into that one, but I do remember it.
I couldn't tell you much about it now, except that I know that I used to like it and Brandy was in it.
And did you see the recent one with, oh gosh, who's in it? Rob Stark is the prince, and Daisy from Downton Abbey is the stepsister, and Rose from Downton Abbey is Cinderella. I only know the characters by the other shows that they were in.
I have not seen Downton Abbey, but I don't think I've seen that either.
That one was actually really good too, and it was really close. It was a lot closer to the original, like the original tale. There's no mutilating feet in it, but it has parts in it from like one of the early versions by. It was called The Little Glass Slipper. That was one of the earliest ones. Oh, by Charles Perrault, in The Tales of Mother Goose. That was another early one.
What did you think? I don't know, talking about all this mutilation and whatnot was reminding me of, in the story, you know how the cyborgs were like second-class citizens?
Mm-hmm.
At best. I don't know. Something about that was kind of interesting to me because part of me felt like in a future world where you could, if you had enough money, kind of correct for injury or whatnot, or like add on mechanical features. At least some of her, you know, additions seem almost like benefits. I know, but it's kind of like, to me, I almost feel like, why, I don't, like, I wish I knew more of the backstory of how they became second class. Like, why?
Me too.
They...
Well, the only thing I could think of was the world that she created in, what's the city? New Beijing. I think a lot of people, it seems like a lot of people are on the poorer side,
mm-hmm.
at least in the sector where Cinder lives. And so I was thinking, maybe it's like a mistrust thing. Like, she has all these tripped out features that make her like a threat to them because she's smarter, she's, you know, more capable, she's stronger. That's the only thing I could think of, that they were actually like kind of frightened of her.
Mm-hmm.
And that, yeah, it's like definitely translated
a us versus them, people mm-hmm. who are different than you statement. But there's also, I feel like, a lot of legal differences, right? That the
side. Oh, yeah. Because they're.
Kind of interesting.
No, definitely. Because they're recruited for the plague treatment, right?
Yes.
The cyborg draft. Mm-hmm. Right. So there's this plague that's going around and they test antidotes for the plague on only cyborgs. And then they like reimburse your family if you volunteer, right?
I also think it would have been interesting though to, I wish that she had like another cyborg friend. Like, I get that having an android friend kind of relates, but I was just kind of curious like how much of it was her stepmom and steps, you know, her stepmom being kind of cruel to her versus just kind of how society treated cyborgs as a whole.
I think it's both because Cinder's really embarrassed by being cyborg, you know, like she feels like she's less than.
And you see the lady across from her in the marketplace or whatever who won't let her son talk to her and all of that. Like, there's definitely, you see other stuff, but I'm just kind of curious, kind of would have been interesting if there was a different cyborg whose family did accept her, or someone who was a cyborg but still lived with their, you know, original family. Because she was an orphan and a cyborg, right?
Yeah, it would be interesting to see if there was another cyborg who was maybe cherished or, like, celebrated for her differences, maybe in a different part of the world, right? Because here it's more like there's mistrust, there's fear, yeah. That leads to disgust. It seems like, I don't know, because there's a cyborg draft, so that makes me believe that there are a lot more cyborgs in her world, but still not enough that they're accepted.
Or even if there was more kind of judgment between cyborg, like, I think that would have been interesting, too, if there was a cyborg, but, like, he had only half as, you know, because they,
oh, like, how right.
much metal or how much mm-hmm. non-human parts they have is kind of measured. Like, I wonder if there's, like, even kind of a caste system among the cyborgs for, like, I'm more human than you or something, or...
Yeah, well, there was the part where Dr. Erland is running tests on people who are cyborg, and they're comparing their genetic makeup and, like, the percentage of cyborg and the percentage of human, and I think Cinder's, like, 33% cyborg, and he liked that because she had a high percentage, and that's why he really liked her, yeah.
Yep.
Well, honestly, like, there's also, I think in the book, there's a lot of, you know, discarding or getting rid of people who are different. Like, the Lunars with their shell children are killed on Luna, or their parents will try to ship them to Earth to get them away. Yeah. So there's definitely a theme mm-hmm. of that. But I think, didn't we learn that shells, I think it's all, honestly, like, I think it's all based on fear, because the shells were killed because their Levana hates them. So Queen Levana hates them because they are immune to her lunar gift and they can't be glamored, right? So they're dangerous to have around. So that's the reason for them being discarded. But yeah, the cyborg thing's interesting. I mean, I think it's definitely an interesting take from the normal Cinderella stories, where the stepmother is jealous of Cinderella's beauty or, like, youth. That's, like, a lot of the hatred mm-hmm. that you see in, like, the Disney version.
Yeah. there's none of that envy. There's really just disgust.
It's just disgust. And like a little, maybe a little bit of seeing her as an obstacle to her, for her husband's love, you know, like there's that, like the father and Cinderella really cared about his daughter and the stepmother was kind of like threatened by that.
And I guess you do see the flip side with her younger sister, Peony, or whatever. Was that her name?
Peony, yeah.
And how she doesn't really seem bothered by Cinder's cyborg qualities at all. And I wonder if that's saying something about, like, younger generations or...
But Pearl doesn't like her.
You know, I mean, I don't know. It's kind of an interesting... Yeah. But Pearl's still older.
That's true. I don't know how much older, but, yeah, she's definitely still older. But also there's, like, the whole sibling rivalry thing there, too, right? Where, like, you want to be on the side of your mom and, like, sometimes, you know, you say things to kind of make your parents love you more than your siblings, right?
Yeah.
Like, that happens.
You do what, Marissa?
I was a terrible sister. I don't know. There's, like, there is still the whole theme of, like, pitting women against each other.
It is interesting, too. I mean, it probably shouldn't be surprising, but most of the characters, good, bad, whatever, the strong characters are female, which is nice.
Mm-hmm. You
know, fun to read.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like, even though Kai is emperor or whatever, he feels very much like a secondary character.
Yeah, he does. But I also kind of like that we are getting to know him. Because, like, you never get to know the prince in Cinderella.
Yeah, no, he's multidimensional.
Oh, yeah. And, like, she doesn't just meet him at the ball and, like, oh, okay, I'll marry you. That sounds great. You know, like, we know more about him. I really like his character. And I was talking to Alicia about this because we were watching The Crown. Have you seen that?
No, but it is on my list of things.
Oh, it's so good. But we were just talking about how, like, it's how hard it is to become a monarch, like, when you ascend the throne and, like, when you're coronated, because you're taking over the role of your parent, but you're doing it because your parent has died. And you, like, all of a sudden have this responsibility to be, you know, very strong for your country, and your country is very vulnerable because it's transitioning and, like, other countries are looking for signs of weakness. So you have to be really strong at that moment, but you're grieving. Like, you're going through the loss of a parent. And, like, I don't know. I was just thinking about how hard it would be to, like, pretend to be at your best when you're really, like, at your worst.
Yeah, especially when you think that given that job, the person you'd most want to talk to professionally would be the predecessor who is dead. And then the person you'd most want to talk to just from, like, a supporting human side is probably your family, mm-hmm. who is the same person and also gone. So you don't really have the support on either side the same way. Like, no one knows what it's like to be emperor except for
the emperor. You know? And you don't know until your dad is dead. And that's just, there's no time to mourn, right? You just have to, like, move on and lead your country.
And especially given the plague, you know, it strikes so fast. So even though he's been, you know, trained and studying under his father for so long, and it seems like he's, you know, kind of taken the role of eventually being emperor pretty seriously, the plague is like days.
I know, that's so scary.
You get sick and it's days later, you know, it's not like
you have time to cope with it. Yeah, because when Peony came down with it, like, she just saw the plague spots and then was just whisked away to the hospital, and there was no time to even, like, really tell her family or, I don't know, there was no time to, like, deal with it.
Yeah, which definitely didn't help Cinder's role in the family to have been there when that happened and be the healthy one.
No, and then they learned that she's immune to it because she's lunar. That was, like, the big reveal at the end.
Yes. So she doesn't have enough problems.
She's cyborg and she's lunar and she's an orphan and she's never going to go to the ball.
And she can't be anywhere near Queen Lavanna, but she just found out that the information that Prince Kai was asking for was about the lunar heir, aka something he needs to know ASAP.
Okay, so let's talk about Princess Celine. What do you think about that? I don't know. It seems like, if there's one thing about this book that I don't like, it's a little obvious.
Yeah. But I think part of the reason it's obvious is because it's based on some of these stories that we know.
That's true. That's true. Because, like, when I was reading up to that point, I was like, oh, there's a long-lost lunar princess who went missing exactly at the time that Cinder showed up, and Cinder doesn't know what her past is, and then there was this accident, and now she's cyborg. I don't know.
I think that it's interesting, though, too, because just because there is a princess out there who's been gone since she was, like, a three-year-old or whatever, I feel like a lot of people, Prince Kai included, are kind of just assuming, I don't know, putting a lot of trust in something that, like, seems like a lot of things have to line up perfectly, and who knows if whoever Princess Celine is, like, qualified or interested or capable of wanting to do the role, let alone physically getting there.
Able to.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
And we get some sense that, nobody likes Queen Lavanna, sort of, but it's not very clear how people on the Lunars feel about her, is it?
No, I don't think so. I mean, we know that the Lunars are feared, right?
Yeah.
By the Earth people because of their glamour, mm-hmm. and because they can brainwash people. So we know that Earth mistrusts them. That's about it. I mean, I don't know. Like, Lavanna wants to come to Earth to marry Kai, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, form an alliance between the Earth and
she
the
really
moon.
Wants her foot in the door on Earth to for more power, right? She's, like, power hungry. That's what she wants.
Yeah. Yeah, she is. But, like, I'm just curious as to why. Because, you know, like, we haven't seen Luna. We don't know what it's like. I'm just curious as to, like, why she wants Earth so badly. But I like the whole, I really like the whole glamour thing and how she wears a veil because her glamour doesn't translate over the port screens.
Mm-hmm. I also think just the whole idea of glamour is interesting, especially, I mean, I get that hers is stronger than everyone else's, but it is scary to think that there's a group of people or whatever, slightly modified genetic people who can control your actions and thought, you know, like, who can do that to you? Like, mm-hmm. I don't blame Earthlings for being scared. Can you imagine living your life where you could, like, change the way you look to people? Or how tempting would it be? Or, like, how would you learn to kind of control that or morally? Like,
draw a line.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, and how scary would it be to not know, like, if you were being brainwashed? Like, oh, do I really want to do that? Or is someone telling me that I should want to do that? Like, that would freak me out.
And I wonder how long-lasting it is. Because do you know afterwards that you were glamored and...
I think you do. Because remember Prince Kai, when Lavanna is trying to make him love her? I just burped into the microphone. he realizes that she glamored him because he despises her. And then there was a moment where he, like, desperately loved her. And it made him really, like, disgusted because...
Yeah, but he only realized that when it stopped.
Right? Yeah, that's true.
It wasn't like she was controlling his body and he still hated her, but he was saying things. It's like he felt those things when she wanted him to. And it's just kind of crazy to think about.
Oh, I agree. How old is Lavanna? Do we know that?
How old is she?
Yeah. Because Kai's only 18.
I feel like she's at least... Well, because she has a stepdaughter, right? How old is
the Right. How old is the stepdaughter? Oh, wait, I think I wrote that down. Her stepdaughter is 13 years old.
Okay, and she's definitely been queen for at least as long as Princess Celine has been gone, because wasn't that the rumor that she tried to kill her or whatever?
Yeah, so that's been, like, I don't know.
I would say she's probably been queen for maybe almost 2 decades, and she probably didn't become queen until she was at least 15 if she was really young, probably older, right? So I would say she's probably 40 at the earliest.
Okay, that's what I thought too, like either like in her 30s or 40s. And that is, I don't know, I don't like that she wants to marry Kai and he's only 18. Like, it's so predatory.
Mm-hmm.
And like, and it's not the age difference, like whatever, if he was like... in his 30s, I wouldn't care, but he's 18. And was she always going to marry him? Was she going to marry his dad instead?
I thought she was trying to marry the dad first, but I maybe she was just trying to marry him, but the dad wouldn't allow it first. I don't know.
I thought he was going to marry, she was going to marry his dad. And then I was like, okay, that's a problem. If you like have your heart set on the dad and then you settle for the son, like.
Yeah. But the problem is I don't think it's her heart at all. It's totally a power grab. And that's, she just wants to be empress or whatever the title is. Although that's interesting too, because it feels like she's very much targeting New Beijing, but there are, so what other countries are there right now? There's some version of America, right? There's some version of Europe.
And there's Africa, because they talk about this, where the plague started.
But they're not all empires, but they're all peaceful with each other.
I thought they all were empires.
I thought one was still a republic.
Oh, maybe.
I feel like I saw something about the something republic. But that's kind of interesting, too. I wonder how much they have peace on Earth, but how closely peace on Earth and goodwill towards man, but not cyborgs or lunars.
Or androids. You know what? I feel bad for the androids. I feel bad. Like, no one treats Eco like she's a real person, and that makes me really sad.
I think it's interesting, though, because so she has this personality chip defect. So I actually feel like the way people treat cyborgs isn't necessarily bad, but the way they treat her is, if that makes any sense. Like, if they really don't have, you know, it's, I don't know another cyborg to compare it to, but it seems like part of why we love her and want her to be treated better is because of this, like, defect that she supposedly has, right?
Yeah, because she's super sassy, and because of a chip in her personality chip. It's a defect in her personality chip, right?
Yeah.
And that's so funny. I love that.
I love that, too. She's one of my favorite characters.
Me too. She probably is my favorite character right now.
She has the best lines. Yeah. Even just how obsessed she is with the prince.
She's like a little lovesick girl who, and she's like, oh, check. I think my heater's like, what? She's like, oh, I think my fan's overheating when Kai walks in.
Of course, she doesn't seem concerned at all that she's a an android, whereas Cinder is very concerned about her hidden cyborgness.
That's true. Well, I think because, I don't know, I think because the prince is, like, paying attention to her now, and she kind of secretly likes him, and she's worried, you know, it's like anyone, like, you're worried someone's going to find out something about you, and they won't like you anymore.
Yeah. It would be different, I guess, if he knew she was a cyborg, then she probably wouldn't be self-conscious about it as much, but since she thinks he doesn't know, or he doesn't know, or whatever.
Yeah, he doesn't know.
Yeah.
When she was trying to hide her foot from him... That killed me when she was, like, hobbling on one leg and, like, trying to stand on one leg at the booth because her foot wasn't attached. Like, that was so sad. But you love her. Like, I love Cinder. She's
very relatable.
Yeah, and you just root for her.
But I also like that she's a strong lady, but she still has these, like, insecurities. Like, she feels very human for a cyborg.
Yes. And she's not... Take that back. And she's still, like, she's not immune to, like, the prince's charms, and she's not cynical. Like, they could have made her very wry, very cynical, very snarky, but, like, she's still very hopeful, and, like, she does dream about, like, meeting the prince and having him love her.
Just belonging and being loved in general, which is, I think, what everyone wants, but, I mean, I think... You even see her kind of struggling with her family and, you know, she couldn't leave as long as Peony is there. How do you say her name? I don't know why I can't.
Peony, like the flower.
I know that, but I just can't say it. I did hear the other day, someone was like, if you pronounce words wrong and people make fun of you, they shouldn't because you probably learned it from reading. And I was like, that's true. That's why I say everything wrong, because I don't talk, I just read.
And then when you go to read it out loud, you're really screwed.
Yep. Then I embarrass myself. Anyways, but I mean, even just her, like, love for her sister, she doesn't want to abandon her as much as she wants to get away and as unhappy as she is in her life there.
Well, because she's the only person who has shown her any love besides Eco, right?
Yeah.
And she's the only family she has.
But she's still very loyal to her small group of family.
Absolutely. But that's kind of like, I mean, that's how Cinderella was in, you know, the Disney movie. Like, she just had her forest friends, her mice. you know, and they weren't really human either, though they had human traits, right? Like they could talk and stuff. So that's kind of like what Eco was. But I love the idea of artificial intelligence, and I want an Eco for myself.
Especially, I want the personality defect.
Oh, for sure. I would have them program that in. Because otherwise, like that, it would just be boring to have a robot.
Or they could just let us program it, and then we'll probably put in a ton of personality defects.
Too many. We'd have to rein back eventually, probably.
It wouldn't speak English to us, but that's okay.
Yeah.
I kind of want her, like, eye thing, or Cinder's eye thing.
Oh, whatever. My God, yes.
Like, keep lists and...
Like, we need to tell you when somebody's lying?
Yeah. Well, that part, too, for sure.
I want that one.
But I even just want to, like, organize my life with that. It's like Google Glasses.
It really is, because I love how when she doesn't know something, she can just pull it up in her brain and instantly read it.
Yeah.
You better believe I'd have that if I could. You would be so smart. I guess we already have, like, the internet pretty much tied to us, and we can quickly look anything up, but just, like, having it right there in your head.
But having it work with your brain, like, you don't have to translate anything. It just, like, knows what you need to know.
I wouldn't want, though, the thing where she overheats, mm-hmm. right? Like, if her systems get overheated and she just passes out because her... that would be terrible.
I don't know. Pros and cons, I guess, always.
Oh, we're at about 50 minutes right now.
Does that mean we should try to wrap it up?
Yeah, I think so. I didn't think of a closing line. A sign off, did you?
That was what we were supposed to work on.
I didn't do that. Okay, we'll do that for next week. We'll think of the way we're going to sign off, close the podcast. Can I tell you a joke in the meantime?
Yes, please do.
Okay, because I love dad jokes almost as much as I love YA literature. But if I tell you a joke, you have to promise that you're going to laugh, no matter if you've heard it before or if you think it's dumb.
Okay, you know I'm going to laugh. I laugh at everything.
Okay, good. I have to think of... Oh, okay. Here's one. What kind of pants does Mario Brothers wear?
I don't know. What?
Denim.
Okay, I like that.
Okay, so, yeah. I'm going to end with a joke every single week, so get ready. I tell my cousin's fiance, I tell him dad jokes all the time, and literally, like, I don't send him anything via text except for bad dad jokes, and I looked back at our text, and it was just one bad joke after another, and him just not responding.
I love it. I love dad jokes, I love puns, I love all that kind of...
Well, we'll try to work it into a sign-off, then.
Sounds
for next week. So next week, we're going to finish reading Cinder, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Looking forward to it. I wish there was like a lunar sign off that they said in here. We could just be like,
is there something they always say instead of swearing? They say my stars or like, right?
Are we trying to swear?
We're not gonna do that though. I'm just gonna say bye.
Bye.
Okay. M&K Talk YA is produced and edited by Marissa Snyder and Katie Bradford. Original music composition by Timothy Milkey. Logo design by Marissa Snyder. For updates and extras, visit mnktalkya.com or follow us on Instagram and Facebook. And if you haven't already, please rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes. We would like to thank James Tobias, Chad Snyder, Meredith Kelfi, and Michael Howard for all of their support. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.